Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This fall, please be nice to your barista. Otherwise, you might end up with a pumpkin spice latte. Did you hear about the dirty Easter egg hunt? It was hosted by the Dust Bunny. What did Han Solo name his clone? Han Duo.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve! From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network Studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, and now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, with my little pal Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner, gives me street cred. The whack alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
Hello, and my partner in all things, Tacey. Hello, Tacey.
Hello.
This is a show for people. Wow. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at drscottwm, and visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything here with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your healthcare provider. All right, very good. Oh, about choked to death doing the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And Tacey's getting very impatient, so I didn't want to start over again. So sorry about that, everybody.
Oh,
I think,
blame it on me.
I think most everybody skips over it anyway. Don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. Stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon needs. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. We'll talk about it in a second. And do check out our Patreon at patreon.com/weirdmedicine, different show. And if you want me to say fluid to your mama or secretions to your daddy, I will
do
so.
He loves it.
I love to do it. It's cheap. cameo.com/weirdmedicine. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are things at simplyherbals.net these days?
Fabulous.
Are they?
Fabulous. Okay. Selling a bunch of nasal spray.
Do you?
Yeah, buddy.
Do you get? Is it Weird Medicine listeners, or is it just everybody all over everywhere?
Mostly Weird Medicine people.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, check him out.
Thankfully, yeah.
Simplyherbals.net. Simply, it's like simplyherbals.net if you don't know how to spell. Simplyherbals.net. And I do want to say happy birthday to the person who does our podcast network. That would be Mr. Cardiff Electric.
We've already gone over this joke.
Yeah. Well, it's not a joke, honey. It's his birthday.
You said that last week.
I was
when
doing
I said
it,
we've already gone over this
I
joke.
I was anticipating
for the
his birthday.
Time.
And his birthday is today.
Okay. I'm sick of it.
And we're part of the Cardiff verse. That's what this is called, the Cardiff verse. So, and in that universe, it's his birthday every week. Anyway, happy birthday.
At least in his mind. Yeah.
Mr. Cardiff, thank you, sir, for your support. I have a couple of things to talk about. Tacey and I, we went ahead and so just for our friends out there, because we are adventurous types, went ahead and got our Omicron boosters, our bivalent, not bivalent, as my friend Jimmy Dore says. Bivalent. It's so crazy. He's ambivalent.
An ambivalent
He's
shot.
Ambivalent about the vaccine. But our bivalent Omicron boosters, I'm at risk because of my age. And, you know, I've posted this on Twitter. It took out 1/16 of my lung the last time I had this damn virus.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know it. I blew 120% on my spirometry, which is this thing where you blow into a tube and you expel all of your lung volume as quickly and as long as you can.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yes. Yeah. 120% of normal. So I always had really good lung capacity. Even when I smoked 3 packs a day, I would blow really high numbers on the spirometry. So I just, you know, was born with good lung capacity. And that's good because when you lose 1/16 of your lung, it's a non-trivial amount, but we have lots of redundancy. That's why we have two lungs. That's why we don't have to have, we don't live at 100%. So if you lose 1%, all of a sudden you're disabled. You know, you can lose a ton of lung capacity before you enter into that realm of disability. The human body is an amazing thing, loaded with redundancies. Kidney function, you can walk around with really impaired kidney function. I've got people who have very impaired liver function. They can walk around. If they stop drinking, hint to some certain people that we know and some of our friends make fun of on the internet, you can regenerate your most of your liver capacity as long as it's not completely scarred down. So it is amazing. this body that we're given, and we just fucking trash it.
Yep, we do. We wreck it.
Eating
right off the rails.
Eating French fries and calling them vegetables, and yep. Well, they are vegetables technically.
Putting ketchup on them and that being a vegetable.
Yes, and just eating just shit and not cheese, exercising booga, and stuff, booga, and it's amazing.
Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
I used to marvel at the fact that. You want that if one molecule is off in your genetic code, if it's the wrong molecule, you're never born. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a catastrophic failure. It's a blighted fetus, or it's never a fetus at all. Right. And, you know, and just the pregnancy never happens. But once you're here, hell, you can do all kinds of shit and yep. get away with it. You know, it is amazing.
It's true.
It's amazing. Anyway, if you do it, and if you F your body up slow enough, you can pretty much tolerate all
just
kinds
about
of
everything
stuff.
Up. Yeah. You know, even if you just smoke a little bit.
Yeah, right. Well,
just don't smoke.
Just stop that.
Yeah, just stop the smoking.
Don't smoke.
Don't smoke. No.
Don't listen to
it.
That's just not cool anymore.
That's why they have edibles.
Oh, shit. Oh. Stop. New soundboard.
Isn't that why we make edibles? So we don't have to smoke anything?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
That's what they're for.
Exactly. To help people through anyway. Smoking cessation.
My niece, I talked about this on the Patreon show, which, by the way, check us out. On, it's a very different show. Patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And every 100% of calls that are sent to that show get read on the air. I had a guy just recently say, yeah, I sent you an email or a voicemail, never heard it on the air. I was like, God, you know, it's now I'm already lying about it. But that was a mistake. But and if you have sent in a voicemail to the show, we're just way behind and we will get those on the air very soon. Mm-hmm. But my niece is 59 years old, soon to be 60. Oh, wait, October. Wait a minute. She was born. Well, that's not right.
Oh. When was she born? What year?
No, she was born 63. So she'll be 50 next year. 60 next year.
60,
right?
Yeah.
60 next year. So she's 59. She'll be 59 this October. And happy birthday, Shannon from South Florida. That's my niece. And
hope she's doing okay right now.
Yeah. So that's one. Ooh, number one. Man. She's getting hammered, and yeah, she's buddy. One of these, well, we're going to shelter in place type people.
Well, because she has like 30 animals.
That's the problem. Okay. She has pigs and snakes. And by the way, if you ever wondered who owns pigs and snakes,
now
that was
know.
Her.
The
and
mystery
that small. Came about because her mother puts out a Christmas newsletter every year. And her sister, Christine, has a PhD in, and she's got like five businesses. And, oh, Christine is opening up yet another, speech pathology practice. And she's on faculty at.
Be careful.
What?
Easy go.
Okay. She has. Faculty at this university, and she owns four businesses, and then they get to Holly. Well, Holly owns pigs and snakes, and so that's where that came from, because we would always laugh about how they would minimize Holly and elevate Christine. Well, anyway.
She runs a hospice for dogs.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
And
totally.
She's got all these animals, and so she can't leave, and that's why she has to shelter in place. So I don't want to make it sound like she's a lunatic, even though she kind of is a lunatic, but the other thing about her is she is completely thinks that flatus is the most hilarious thing.
Okay.
And she fart jokes. If she sends you a letter, it will have an ass with somebody farting and, you know, put brap on it and hee and all this kind of stuff.
She draws turds.
Yeah, of course, I do the same thing. So I guess, you know, we were raised as brother and sister, yes. Kind of. So you can see why we're very similar. And yeah, I mean, I'm a grown man in the medical profession chooses a phone number as, you know, 347 poo head. So anyway, but she sent me a book for my birthday, the big book of farty facts. And I thought what would be fun is we'll just go through and pick a page at random and I'll read something from this. And this is published by fartboys.com. If you want to check them out, apparently
They have nothing but fart products. And you can always check out the Flatus Flute at flatusflute.com, which, of course, you know, I'm calling her a goon, and I'm the biggest goon that there is. So let me see. Okay, Dreamy Farts. This is a chapter called Dreamy Farts. People fart more while sleeping. I'm going to substitute pass flatus since I'm in the medical profession. Anytime they say fart. But this is because our muscles are more relaxed, including the ones that normally hold flatus in. There are some ways to avoid suffocating yourself or another person at night. Well, first off, Tacy, if she ever passes flatus, I'm never aware of it. And if she does, it must smell like flowers. So first, don't eat snacks or drink fizzy drinks before bed. Second, don't lie on your abdomen, since your body weight pressures your intestines to push out air. Like, can you sleep on your stomach? I can't.
Lord, no. Never.
Mm-hmm. Who sleeps on their stomach? And I'm assuming women with giant bazongas like Tacy can't sleep on their abdomen anyway. Third, drink water before sleeping, which calms your digestion, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, maybe warm water, right?
Warm, yes. Gone.
But the number one best way to pass flatus less in bed is pass flatus more during the day.
There you go.
You'll make people laugh, you'll feel better, and you won't risk suffocation in a closed bedroom. So I'll mark that one as being red. And that is your farty fact for the day.
It's our flatus fact of the day. I like it.
Carl says there's no such thing as fun facts. Facts are just facts. Well, they're not fun.
No. We'll have to come up with a good intro.
But I do have I have an app, by the way, on Alexa. I don't think that we've talked about it in a while.
No.
Echo, ask Dr. Steve for a fun fact. Let's see if she's...
The medical term for ingrown toenail is onychocryptosis or paronychia. Often the offending part of the nail must be removed by a healthcare provider. For another fact, please say, tell me another fact.
That one wasn't
to
fun.
Quit, say, stop.
Tell me.
Stop.
No. God damn it. Okay.
So let's talk about
to
this.
To get another
for a minute.
Fact, you can say, tell me a fun fact. You can say stop or cancel to
we
exit.
We can say stop.
For more instructions, you can also say, help.
Tell me a fun fact.
Oh.
No.
Fingernails grow about 1/10 of an inch a month. If you lose a fingernail, it will take 4 to 6 months to regrow completely.
Mm.
Toenails take a year to a year and a half to grow from cuticle to tip, which is why toenail fungus treatments take so long.
Jesus.
What?
Okay.
But how long did it take you?
Was initially a medical term
Echo,
that referred
stop.
To people.
Jesus.
See, this is what happens. How long?
Okay, what?
She won't shut up. How long did it take you to make this app?
Well, Daniel Stout and I made it, and it didn't take that long. It took me an evening to just collect a bunch of stuff. And then you'd run it through there, and she mispronounces things. That's why it said paronychia, because I had to do that phonetically, because if I put it in there as the correct spelling, she said paronychia or something like that.
Yes, I did.
But the reason I bring it up is there are a couple of gems nestled in there. There's a couple of Dr. Chip Chipperson ones. There's a Rich Voss one that if you hit it, it will make you laugh out loud. And then there's just a bunch of flatus and colon and how long is your colon.
I'm sure.
How many turds do you make in a year? And
I was just wondering how much time goes away from our family doing things
like
this.
Oh, don't worry about it. I do this stuff after you go to bed.
Just wondering.
I go to bed at 9:30 every day.
Just wondering.
She's retired. Give her a break, man.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, none, zero. The answer is 0.0.
Okay.
Jesus, we're...
I got you, Taste. Don't worry.
All right. What does that mean?
Poor
you got her for
she's
what?
She's retired.
Oh, you
nice
got her back.
Her.
Okay.
I got her back.
All right, you want to do some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Oh, wait, I sent you one that we had to do this week, and it was about an acupuncture needle. Do you
no,
have
No, I've
it?
Got that. You sent that
you
to me.
You have that one? Okay.
Oh, cool.
All right, let's do that one.
All right.
I'll go ahead and get this disclaimer out of the way.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Thank you, Ronnie B. Go ahead, Tace.
Chinese doctors retrieved 3-inch acupuncture needle that 11-year-old boy inserted into his penis because he was bored.
Ooh.
He inserted it to see if it was possible And because he was bored.
Yes, it is possible. Don't do it. Just because it's possible, don't do it.
He pushed the needle into his urethra himself and was unable to urinate.
I'd say.
They removed the object during a non-invasive surgery using an endoscope.
Yeah. So the endoscopes, a lot of them, particularly the ones that they'll go to get stones with, will have little
pincher
things.
Yeah, it's like a little claw.
So they would have just inserted one of those. I guarantee it didn't go too far up.
No.
It wasn't floating around in his bladder. It was probably still stuck in his urethra.
Well, it was pushed up into his bladder tube. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It was an 8-centimeter needle.
So 8 centimeters. Okay, so an inch is 2.5 centimeters. So 2 inches would be 5. So it was about 3 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
7.5 would be 3 inches.
That's a pretty good size needle.
Yeah. So what do you think? Okay, go ahead.
Also,
do you think that made the pain in his knee feel better, Scott?
Took his mind off of it.
I would think so.
And then last year, a 10-year-old boy with a sewing needle the same length as a Twix, he had to have
Why do they have to make a food analogy?
I don't know. Had to have it removed through his penis after it got stuck in his urethra.
Yeah, guys, this is called urethral sounding. And it's people go, why is it sounding? Well, when you have a rope with a bunch of knots on it and you lower it from your boat to see how deep the water is, that's called sounding. It's a nautical term. Mm-hmm. And that's really what they're doing is, you know, when we used to do urethral sounding, they would take it looks like a nail, big, long, you know, rod. Mm-hmm. And with markings on it, and you can see how deep, you know, how deep the urethra was or whatever, and that would be called urethral sounding. And there are medical reasons for doing that, not just curiosity. But so anything kind of you put in there is called urethral sounding. So or now it's, just urethral manipulation. But Scott, what do you think about acupuncturing the urethra? Is that something you guys commonly do?
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, the hope is he put it in with a sharp end first.
Out. Oh, first.
No, because the back end of it's got the it's got like a little metal wrap on it, make it a lot easier to grab with the claws and pull it back out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the other end's slick as a whistle. Because even though they're 3 inches long, they're still pretty thin.
Yeah. They're like a little bit thicker than a human hair, right?
No, that's not something I practice regularly.
You don't do urethral
sounding. No, I discourage that. And I definitely would not want somebody going to the hospital and telling them I had done that to them.
I'm not. Yeah. I mean, and this is one where it's harder to say you sat on it.
Yeah. No. That'd be an awful accurate or unfortunate.
You could say, event. Look what that goddamn acupuncturist did to me.
That crazy fool. He told me he's fixing my prostate. Just
find one in the phone book just blame it on them.
That's right.
Yes. Not a DOM, though. No. Someone that did a 2-week course.
Terrible idea. That'd
be more believable.
Keep those out of your urethra.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Poor thing.
Thank you. That's our PSA for the day. Don't stick acupuncture needles up your cock. Don't, you know what?
Anything.
I'm not a just say no person. I'm for whatever. But there are things that are made for this. But you need to have somebody who knows what they're doing show you how to do it the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you shouldn't be 10.
No. This is for adults only, consenting adults only. And be safe out there, y'all. Don't do stuff that's going to hurt you permanently.
Just because there's a hole doesn't mean anything has to be stuck in it.
That's spoken by it like a true woman. That's bullshit.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. We need to make a coffee mug out of that. A Tacey quote. Just because there's a hole doesn't mean you have to stick something in it.
She's wise. She's a wise
She is very wise.
Yeah, you know, and Doug was just talking about on the chat about prostate.
You mean issues. In the waiting room?
That's right, in the waiting room about prostate issues.
I don't mean that's not UGG for Doug. It's just I call it the waiting room.
I guess he goes back in December to see if he has to have the cystoc.
Oh yeah, remind me what's going on with Doug?
He was having some trouble with voiding his bladder completely, some urgency issues.
Yeah,
and they're going to do a
our favorite procedure.
Cystoscope. Well, at least they do flexible ones now instead of rigid ones.
Yeah, golly. Speaking of sounding.
Yeah, I sounded pretty.
I invented cuss words when I had mine.
Yeah. But, well, I invented hit and run accident or, you know, hit and run crimes, apparently.
He's the first person
ever. People that don't know what I'm talking about, when I had my cystoscope, I hurt so bad when I was pulling out, I ran into somebody's car. When I got out and I looked and I didn't see any damage, I took off and then somebody wrote down my license plate. And I swear they blamed
the
other side on me. Well, I didn't hit them that hard. I mean, I just basically tapped them.
Yep.
Well, I got out, I looked, it's like, there's no damage. I'm just leaving. I've got to get home.
Yep.
And and listen, Scott and I don't say that to dissuade you from doing it. If you need to have it done, do it.
Yeah.
In the greater scheme of things, it wasn't that bad.
Did you guys have the rigid one?
No, we had flexible.
And so, it still hurt like an MFer.
Right.
But, you know, I'm with Dr. Steve.
Fiber optic.
If you need it, get it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be fine. Then you can join our brotherhood of those who survived.
Yeah, like, right? Like the fellowship in the ring.
Lord.
We can ride off to the nether lands with the elves at the end. Yes. But
you can't torture us.
That's right. We've had a cystoscopy.
Didn't you say they numb it now or something?
Yeah, they're doing better now.
Okay.
So when you have it, Doug, or anyone else that's out there, say, listen, I heard what Dr. Steve said. This putting the numbing stuff on the end of the cystoscope and then jamming it in my urethra.
Come on, that does nothing.
Is just for show. So let's numb it up ahead of time. So what they can do is they can take a syringe with the lidocaine gel and just hold it up to the urethral meatus, a.k.a. the cock hole, and just sort of fill up your urethra with numbing medicine and let you sit there for 5 minutes.
I've got a better idea.
What?
Laughing gas. Why not just a little dose, just a hit of laughing gas.
Crazy about
just
laughing gas. Yeah. Laughing gas, nitrous oxide. Yeah. I did it. I've done it twice in my life. Yeah. One time when I was having a root canal.
Okay.
Doesn't stop the pain. It just passes the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember at some point in there, I got the idea that somehow I was married to Janet Jackson. When I was on laughing gas. It's the craziest fucking thing. Don't know where that came from. And maybe they were playing the music in the background or something. I don't know. But that was weird. And then I woke up and... You know, after all that, they just take it off and go, well, you can go. And it's like, well, can I drive? It's like, yep, you're fine. And you are. And the second time was when Chanda did a plasma enriched protein in my scalp to see if it would make my hair grow back, which it did. And every time she would stick the needle in my head, it's not that I didn't feel it. I still felt it, but it was like I saw fireworks. Go off.
Oh, wow.
Like the most beautiful fireworks display. Every time she stuck a needle in my scalp and injected plasma in it.
Mm, and
it was very enjoyable, except the pain was there. I just kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, so that was, laughing gas is interesting. So maybe that would work.
It might work.
Why don't they do that more?
Because it would just take us, it's just a little bit of time. I mean, you just have to get through that one little... pinch, as it were.
That shit's dirt cheap too, and that Tacy's dentist charges $100 for
$100
10 minutes for doing laughing gas.
You just go to a dad show and you can just pick up a couple balloons and.
Can you really?
Oh yeah.
What?
Piece of cake. Just take it back to your office.
Just tell her I brought my own.
I brought my own.
Yeah, I brought my own.
I'm not paying your $100.
I'm paying your $100, bitch.
We'll take her over there. It'd work. Oh my gosh.
All right. I think she listens. So. It's all right.
I hope
my
she
teeth
doesn't.
Look perfect.
Perfect.
All right. Now what were we doing? Oh, okay. So, yes. So his is cystoscopy. Mm. So we want to hear how that goes and just let us know. But yeah, the cystoscopy itself, we talk about it. I mean, it's a radio show. We got to talk it up a little bit, but it did suck, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. The Omicron booster kicked my ass.
Yeah, how'd you feel?
Felt like shit.
I didn't feel good the next day.
Huh?
How many days?
2 days.
Worse than
Tacy felt bad for 1 day. I felt bad for two.
Worse than the shingles vaccine?
No, not even close.
Okay.
No, cool. The Shingrix
wore you out.
Wore me out, yeah. But better than having shingles in my eye.
Yeah.
And when I did end up getting shingles, because I'm fucking stressed out... And I got it anyway. It lasted literally a day. And that is unheard of in shingles world, mm-hmm. Yep. You know. So anyway.
Shingles suck.
Shingles, yeah. Tacy actually had shingles.
When do you get your shingles vaccine?
Oh, God. Why do you have to ask me that? Hang on. Shingrix schedule. I don't want to say it wrong. That's why. No, you asked an excellent question. I should know the answer to this. 50 years and older should get two doses of Shingrix separated by 2 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a weakened immune system because of disease or therapy, you should get it after age 19.
Wow. So do both vaccines kick your butt or just one?
Oh, you mean both doses?
Yes.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, the first one was worse for me. Mm-hmm. Than the second one.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I think I was sailed through the second one.
Yeah, I don't remember you complaining about the second one. The first one was awful.
Yeah. Did you have it?
No.
No?
Not yet.
Okay. You're not 50, right?
Barely.
How old are you?
54.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So why haven't you had the Shingrix?
Well,
I'm
chicken.
For fuck's sake. Are you serious?
I'm chicken. I don't want to feel like shit for 2 days.
You had shingles in your crotch once, and I did, you get it.
Yeah, you'd by God get it.
That's my birthday present next year.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Yeah.
So have you had your colonoscopy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one. I remember I had that
remember?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right,
okay, so you've had that. We'll
slow.
Give you one of
those. Give yourself a bill.
That was brain
you
slow
have not that. Had your Shingrix shot, nope. Which you should have. What about cardiac?
Workup.
Yeah, cardiac, just screening stuff. Cholesterol?
Oh, no, I don't have any cholesterol issues.
When was the last time you had your cholesterol checked?
I have it once a year.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right.
I do have it once a year.
Okay.
Our friend checks it for us.
Okay. All right, so you're up to date on your screening stuff. The only thing you haven't had is your Shingrix vaccine. Right, you should have it.
Yeah, I'm pretty good shape, I think. And I try to stay hydrated.
Okay, good. That's great.
Good
That's
for great. You.
Yeah, with Coors Light, because that's just for hydration.
Exactly,
you know?
or tequila or scotch or whatever. Okay.
All right. So, yes, age 50 years and older. If you're 50 years or older and you have not got your Shingrix, you should talk to your primary care about it. And you can just go to your pharmacy, most places, and just get it.
Yeah.
And then it needs to – so if you get one now, you have to wait at least 2 months and then get it before it's been 6 months and you're good. Okay?
Yep.
And this one, it kicks your ass. Mm-hmm. But it is worth it because it is much more potent than the old Zostavax or whatever the hell the old one was. Yeah, I don't even remember the name of it.
And I do have a question from the waiting room.
Yep.
If you'd like one.
Yep, of course. That's why we are a medical question and answer. We should probably answer some questions at some point.
Clinton wants to know, what would cause higher than normal systolic blood pressure? His diastolic is usually normal, but he said his blood pressure runs 140 over 80.
Yeah. Well, he has systolic hypertension.
Yeah, but he's just asking why systolic versus diastolic.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. So people are divided on this. It really is a matter of fluid dynamics.
Right.
You know, when you have isolated systolic hypertension, which is what that is, that's when the blood pressure is less than, 80 and the other on the lower side, and then the upper side is, 130 or higher. It is usually caused by several different causes. Okay, so how can you make that upper number go up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you basically have this range, and when you do someone's blood pressure, what you're really doing is you're listening to what's the pressure in the arm when you start to hear heart sounds, and what is the pressure in the arm when you stop hearing heart sounds.
That's
so that is the range. And so these two things are not really separate numbers. It's just that's how far the range is. And that helps to sort of understand this. So any artery stiffness, so an inability of the artery to compress will give you a falsely elevated upper number because you can't compress it enough to quench that number. You go up 140, 160, 180, and because you're basically listening to a lead pipe, it never compresses enough to stop the sound. And so you get the numbers can go way high. And on those people, if you do an actual arterial pressure where you stick a catheter in their artery and read the pressure directly, their blood pressure could be normal, but they've just got so much calcification in their artery. Now, Clinton is young, so I'm going to assume that's not what it is.
Yeah.
Any kind of overactive thyroid disease, hyperthyroidism, can cause isolated systolic hypertension, blood sugar, heart valve disease. If you're overweight and they're using too small of a cuff, you'll get an elevated blood pressure as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to use the right size cuff.
Right.
And those things all have markers on them to show you if your arm is too big for the cuff that they're using.
What about diastolic?
Yeah.
If your diastolic is high.
So usually the way I think about diastolic blood pressure is if you're, so what would increase that range? One of the things would be if you had vasoconstriction. So if the blood vessels are constricted in all over your system, you won't be able to decrease that range. You won't have the lower level will be higher than it should be.
Because they're supposed to relax to a certain degree.
That's right. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to answer in those terms. Let's go back to our old thing that we've talked about on the show before. What's a good model of the circulatory system? And a decent model would be if you have a water pump and you hook the hose up to the output, and then you take that hose and you turn around and you hook it back to the input, and then you charge the whole thing with water and you turn it on so that the pump is pumping water through it, goes through the pump, goes through the hose and comes back, back to the pump through that same hose. Okay. So it's just a one circuit goes around. And somewhere in there, you puncture the hose and you put a pressure valve. And then you play with it, okay? So what would make the pressure go up? Well, if you had, if you made the caliber of the hose smaller, distal to the gauge, okay? In other words, on the other side of the gauge. Let's say the gauge is close to the pump. And then you start squeezing, or you just make the hose a smaller caliber. Mm-hmm. That's going to create back pressure, right?
Okay.
And the resistance to flow will go up, and therefore the total pressure will go up.
Yeah, you can see those little gauges on those pumps.
Yeah.
Just start to elevate.
Yeah, it'll elevate. Yeah.
Which one's worse? Are they both just bad?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. So the way that they define hypertension is by looking at both the systolic and the diastolic, because again, it's a range. They're not two separate things. It's just a top and bottom of the range of how much pressure is required to basically, again, quench that sound in your arm. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. It's in gauged in millimeters of mercury. It's all very sort of indirect. So normal blood pressure, the top number is less than 120, but the bottom pressure needs to be below 80. And they both have to be below 120 and below 80, respectively, together, or it's not normal. So elevated would be a top number of 120 to 129, and a diastolic or lower still less than 80. So you can have a little bit of elevation of the systolic, and but you still have to have a normal diastolic or lower number to be called elevated. And then now it's classified as hypertension if your top number is 130 to 139, or the bottom number is 80 to 89. Or both, either, you know, if either one of those is true, it's considered stage one hypertension. And then stage two hypertension is when the top number, the systolic, is greater than 140 and the diastolic is greater than 90, but it could be either one. So really, you know, having any level of hypertension puts you at risk for heart disease and stroke. So it's like saying, well, you know, which alcohol is better to drink, vodka or wine? You know, it's
well, wine.
Obviously, vodka, the right.
So what if you're running, say, 122, 123 usually,
yeah,
with 80, or what if you're running 120 versus 82, 83? Is that enough to be concerned?
Concerned, yes. So what? Remember, your heart beats 72 times a minute, 60 minutes an hour, you know, 24 hours a day, 365 for years and years and years. So what you're talking about is a little bit of chinks in the armor being taken out every time, and just a little bit of damage, it all piles up. These sort of microaggressions on your cardiovascular system.
Because
so, yes, if you're running, if you're elevated, it bears lifestyle changes. If it's hypertension, you can sometimes convince your primary care to say, listen, give me 6 months to lose some weight and exercise and get my diet right, and let me see if it comes back down. But they're going to want to treat you.
So, because I'm retired, I take my blood pressure like 10 or 11 times a day.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's high, and then sometimes it's really low. So is it an average throughout the day?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I should be averaging it instead of just stress, taking it and freaking out because it's a little high, and then I'll take it 10 minutes later and it's a little low.
If it's 10 minutes later, then that also calls into question which one of those is more accurate.
Yes.
So if it's more often low and just occasionally elevated, it's one of those things that you can just, most of the time you can monitor that. We have some patients come in and they have a thing called white coat hypertension. When they come in, they're 180 over 110, and they're freaking out, and the office is freaking out, and they go, no, I just have isolated white coat hypertension. And it's hard for clinicians to just believe them when they say that, because you don't want to send somebody home who maybe the reason that they're saying that they have white coat hypertension is because they don't want to take the medication because they heard bad things about it. And by the way, most of the medication now is pretty well tolerated.
Pretty benign, yeah.
What we can do for those people is send them home with an ambulatory blood pressure monitor. And the
that sounds like fun to me.
It's not bad.
I would have fun with that.
Oh, yeah, it is fun. Mm-hmm. And you walk around for 24 hours with this ambulatory blood pressure monitor, and it'll take your blood pressure every X number of minutes. And that you can prove if someone has white coat hypertension by watching their blood pressure go down when they leave and stay down until they come back to get the thing taken off, and then it goes back up again. So I'm looking at a reasonably new article in Clinical Cardiology about isolated diastolic hypertension. In other words, people who have a normal upper number but an elevated lower number.
Okay.
And so these are findings from this thing called the Stanislaus cohort. And this was a cross-sectional analysis of 1,600 people, which was a large longitudinal study from eastern France. And what they found was isolated diastolic hypertension was not significantly associated with target organ damage. So they said further studies were needed to clarify the clinical role of this. So they may take data like this and go, okay, we're going to change the definition of hypertension again, because they've changed it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. When I was in training, it was anything greater than 140 over 90 was hypertension.
Okay.
And we didn't really make a lot of distinctions. You made a distinction if someone had end organ damage when they came in. That was a hypertensive emergency. Mm-hmm. If they had dizziness or altered mental status, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we didn't make a huge distinction between hypertension. And now there's all these. Then there were 4 stages. Now they've brought it back down to 2 stages. I mean, this shit goes through these consensus panels and they keep changing it. So this study here may actually change the definition of hypertension if they decide to take off the a diastolic greater than 89 or whatever.
Okay.
You know, so we'll see.
Cool.
So hell, they don't know. So how the fuck am I supposed to know?
Okay. Got it.
You know
there
what I mean?
You go.
All right. All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Lead Shoe Joe.
Oh, yeah. Lead Shoe Joe.
Oh, Lead Shoe.
He was the old blues guitarist.
He sounds like it. He was at the last little part of this question was, does weather affect your blood pressure or just your perception of blood pressure or perception of pressure?
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Does weather affect? I would say yes on the front end, at least if you're in a new weather environment. You know, if you're in the middle of a hurricane, I would say your blood pressure is going to go up.
Yeah, but that's
so.
Until
that's
you get
caused
used to it.
By circumstance.
Yeah. Well,
okay. I'm looking here. A blood pressure is generally higher in the winter and lower in the summer because temperatures can cause blood vessels to temporarily narrow. This I'll give you one.
Give
if that's what you were thinking
meal.
Of, then yeah. I don't think, like, Tacy's mom says, well, hell, there's a storm coming, because her knees are a pain in her. Now, I've heard that enough to say that there might be some validity to that.
Oh, there's 100% validity.
But I've also, found out that whatever Joanne says is incorrect. So, 100% of the time.
100%, yeah. My knees will tell. Both of my knees will tell you it's about to get stormier.
I wonder if anybody's ever done a study on
barometric pressure changes for arthritis.
Joint pain.
Totally.
And barometric pressure.
Guaranteed.
Well, let's just by God see
I can
here.
Tell you from experience.
Let's see.
Golly.
Changes in barometric pressure may make your tendons, muscles, and any scar tissue expand and contract. and that can create pain in joints affected by arthritis. Okay.
There you go.
That's from WebMD. So what I'm looking for is an actual study, and I can't find one. So that's something. Let's put that down for next time.
Sounds good to me.
And we'll see. I mean, I hear it all the time. So I believe that there is at least some sort of gestalt consensus that it's true. I would like to know, because people also believe that there's more deliveries in the labor room during a full moon, mm-hmm. or more admissions for mental illness when there's a full moon.
Or just crazy shit in general in offices.
Right. And there have been studies that have shown that there is no correlation whatsoever.
Oh, come on. That can't be true.
Yeah, for real. I know.
It's got to be true.
No, it doesn't have to be true. because we think that it's true, doesn't make it true. The data is pretty robust on that one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Because I would have sworn that there was some correlation as well. But zero correlation. All right. Let's take some. You want to take a question?
Let's take a question, yeah.
All right. Oh, here's one right down our alley, which, of course,
penis question.
No, better than that.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Dave. As I'm getting older, I don't normally eat breakfast, but when I go out and have breakfast Saturday mornings, I'll have something greasy like fried eggs, sausage, and hash browns, and without a doubt, within 20 minutes, I will have volcanic defecations, and it just completely cleans out my system, because then I don't use the toilet again for another 3 days.
Okay.
When I was younger, you know, it never used to be a problem, but now it is.
Is that a problem?
What's going on? Is old age catching up with me? Is there something I should be concerned about?
This sounds like a feature, not a bug. You know, that could be. That's an exploitable thing. A couple of things. Well, do you want to? He may have some pancreatic insufficiency, is what wondering about.
Sounds like a gastrocolic reflex.
Well,
like
that is a real thing. So, okay, now we've thrown out a bunch of jargon. We better explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, one of the mechanisms that the body uses to absorb fat is when you eat a lot of fat, that the gallbladder contracts and it's supposed to put bile into the small intestine. And also the pancreas will inject enzymes into the small intestine that can help to break down fat to make it digestible. And if you can't do that, what happens is these fat molecules just pass unchanged into the small intestine, which then accelerates because it can't be stopped at that point. Through osmosis, these small molecules will start to draw water in to the lumen of the bowel, and then that you basically flush from top to bottom, and it cleans you out pretty good, but you get an irritable bowel type situation where you just have voluminous diarrhea, watery diarrhea, and then it stops when all those little insoluble chunks of partially broken down fat are finally excreted from the bowel. So that it could be that. Mm-hmm. And the way to know that is if you see fat globules in the water. And I know after you just take a giant water shit, the last thing you want to do is go look at it. But if you see oil floating on the top, like you would in your mother's marinara sauce, mm-hmm. then you start seeing those lakes of olive oil and stuff floating to the top. If you see that, that's what it is. Yeah. It's fat malabsorption, mm-hmm. and that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
So they'll do a 24-hour stool for fat and see if you need pancreatic enzymes or if there's something going on with your gallbladder or something like that. Mm-hmm. One of the old adages is, the old joke is, the doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that. Mm-hmm. So if you see this as a problem, stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Where's he eating, I wonder?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say. I have an idea.
I know.
So, Scott, what were you going to say?
No, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. Just maybe a gallbladder getting a little wild.
Yeah, it could be.
Not just absorbing the greasy foods. Maybe it doesn't eat a lot of greasy foods. And
yeah.
body just kind of shits it right out.
Yep. Or the gastrocolic reflex. You brought that up. Yeah. That's a reflex when you eat something, and these babies have this.
Yep.
A very strong gastrocolic reflex. You put food in their stomach, they shit to make way for the food that's coming. And sometimes the body will just get conditioned.
Yeah.
When you put a bunch of greasy stuff in the stomach, it's like, okay, I got to get cleaned out because we got a big load of hard to digest stuff coming.
Yeah. Yeah, just one, but he didn't say anything about having pain or
anything. No.
Okay, good. No. Yeah. No, I think he's just a little malabsorption.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and he's right. When we get older, it's just harder to do this stuff.
Break stuff down like we used to, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway. So a follow-up question from another person. But this is
Hi, Dr. Steve, Dr. Scott.
Hey,
I want to talk about farts.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Excellent.
I come from a long line of farting people.
Hey, Holly, this question's for you.
I've always had, impressive farts, smelly farts.
Excellent.
Throughout, a lot of them throughout the day.
Nice.
The last 3 years, though, I've been taking, Metamucil.
Okay.
Fiber supplement. And I've noticed a huge decrease in the amount of flatulence that I've been producing, both in smell and decibels and the amount throughout the day.
Decibels.
But I've always read that having an increase of fiber supplement would make more flatulence.
Depends on
but
the
fiber. Seems to be the opposite with me.
Yeah.
I've also been eating healthier. I don't know. Does the fiber supplement have something to do?
Yeah, but now he's introduced a second variable, so that makes it very difficult to
do
say.
Do with my decrease in flatulence or my change in diet? Maybe you could explain this.
Yeah, it is tough because Metamucil is psyllium fiber, and it's not the most flatulogenic of the soluble fibers, but it's close. Because psyllium husk, for some people, has undigestible, saccharides in it that make, sugar molecules that increase the amount of flatulence that people have. If you really want to fart your ass off, use something with chicory / inulin fiber. Chicory and inulin are synonymous. Mm-hmm. And that stuff... When Opie and Anthony were going to do a farting contest, I was going to have everybody take two of those the night before and two of those an hour before the show, and that would guarantee plenty of fun. And because inulin fiber, it's sold as, I think, Benefiber. I'm not sure. I don't want to malign their brand. It's a good fiber. It will dissolve completely in water, so it's completely clear, but it really will cause flatus. And the one that won't is Citracell. Citracell is not digestible by us or by the bacteria or yeast in our gut, and therefore passes through unchanged. So I can't explain this in him. I think the second variable, the change in diet, may have had more to do with it than the Metamucil, because normally I would predict someone taking psyllium fiber would have an increase in flatus rather than a decrease. So... Now, maybe because he's increasing his fiber, he's passing stool, his transit time. In other words, the time that food is put in the stomach to the time it exits from the anus has decreased.
Yeah.
Therefore, stuff isn't hanging around in his gut as long as it used to, giving the bacteria in his gut a longer opportunity to ferment it and create gas. So maybe that's what it is. So if the soluble fiber decreased his transit time, he would have less flatus because there'd be less bacterial activity on the undigested food products in his horrible colon.
Yes.
So I'll give myself one of these on that.
Give yourself a bill!
I think that might be what it is.
Excellent.
Okay, and before we go, I do want to say, I don't know if we're coming back to SiriusXM or not. I didn't put this on the SiriusXM show. But if you're listening to this and you like hearing our show on SiriusXM, how about sending them an email or tweet out to them and I'll retweet it?
Yeah, all four of you. Please do that.
Yeah. But I'll retweet it to Lewis Johnson and them. But Jim McClure is in charge of that. I'm hoping he's just on vacation. Our contract is up very soon. And like Tacy,
like Tacy
said, nothing lasts forever. I would like to know so we could do like a last show. That would be fun. And I would get a bunch of people to call in and stuff like that. You just hate to just all of a sudden not be on the air anymore.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's if we're not, it's been a fun run. It was nice. As I told Carl at the roast when he said, well, you know, you're the only one of us that's actually a professional broadcaster. I'm not. You know, my inability to cogently describe the difference between systolic and diastolic.
I thought you did good.
You did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Considering.
Well, thank you. Yeah, considering. But would indicate that I'm not a professional broadcaster. Certainly not the last professional broadcaster, whatever that means. But I do think that it is nice having a show on Sirius XM just so you can say, well, we're not just a bunch of stunks with a podcast like every other 100,000 people.
But how many years have you done it, Steve?
Well, we started in 2005, right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Okay, so Seinfeld didn't last that long.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Opie and Anthony didn't last that long.
So, I mean, you know, just it is what it is.
If you take the XM years in and also understand that we only did it four times a year in the beginning, and then we were doing it every other week, and then we started doing it weekly. Thank you to E-Rock for that. He was the one that got us on weekly. But if you count all of that, then we are the longest. Well, even if you don't count that now, we're the longest running show on that channel. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
The channel hasn't even kept its name. I mean, it's just...
I know.
It was a good run. If it happens, it was really good.
God, it was the best.
It's nothing to be ashamed
of. So much fun.
You should be proud of yourself.
Well, we have a good sizzle reel for when I croak. They've got all kinds of crazy shit that they can they can compile. If they even mention that I'm dead. They might not mention it.
Probably not. Who's that old codger?
Fuck him. That old man that used to come in here.
He filled space for an hour.
He's boring and unfunny.
That's right.
Fuck all y'all. All right. Well, listen, thanks always go to Dr. Scott. And thanks always go to Tacy and all the people in the waiting room, including, I do mine at the end of the show. I don't read all of the names for 10 minutes at the beginning of the show. Bob Bombington and Amanda Davidson and Richard Kish, Lead Shoe Joe. I'm only reading the ones that I can see. I'm sure Sean Pedrick is in there somewhere. Yeah, there he is.
And Colin Carnes.
Colin Carnes.
We got a good crew.
And a host of others. So, hang out with us Wednesdays or Thursdays. Just watch our Twitter feed at Weird Medicine if you'd like to join the waiting room. They have more fun. They're just talking amongst themselves. They're not listening to the show. And I don't blame them. But anyway, thanks to everyone who's made the show happen over the years. Listen to our Sirius XM show on the Faction Talk channel. Sirius XM, maybe. Channel 103. May have to change the script. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. On demand. And really, at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website, drsteve.com, for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time. Check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking. Get off your asses. Get some exercise. See you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.